Mesechta Chulin, Daf Yud Aleph, the Mishnah. If someone shechts an animal on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, even though he's chayev misa, his shechita is still kosher, and it's mutter to eat this meat. And the Gemara says, although it's mutter to eat, it's usur to eat it on that day. Of course, we have to point out that since cooking is usur on Shabbos, the Gemara here is saying it's usur to eat it on that day raw, because of course cooking would be usur. Taisus asks on this Gemara, what's the Havamina that he can eat it? It has to be salted, since blood cannot be eaten, and salt is used to take out blood from meat. And it's usur to salt meat on Shabbos. So how is it possible? Taisus answers with an important yusayd. Only dam shapirish, blood which moved from its place, is usur. Meaning when you cook meat, the dam which is inside of the animal moves around a little bit. That's called dam shapirish. That is blood which is usur. But if a person eats meat raw, so the blood never moved from its original place. It's not dam shapirish. Therefore, that type of blood is mutter. The Gemara brings Rabbi Yehuda, who says if a behema was alive during Bein HaShmashas before Shabbos, so it's not muchan, it's not prepared to be eaten as food on Shabbos, and it's therefore mukta if it dies on Shabbos. So you can't cut it up as an avela to feed to dogs, because it's also to get hana. So how can one ever shecht an animal on Yontav? It wasn't muchan before Yontav to be eaten, but it was only muchan to exist as a live animal. The more answers, on Yontav, it is really muchan as two things. Number one, to live, and number two, to be eaten. But Rabbi Yehuda must hold yesh brera, in that when you shecht it for eating, that clarifies what it was meant to be used for. Huvra ha-davar l'mafreh now clarifies what it was originally meant to be used for, and therefore the shechita is now used to make it useful to be eaten. The Gemara says if someone buys wine on Erev Shabbos from Kusim, halokeach yayin mibein ha-kusim, so you have to take off truma from it, because we don't know whether truma was taken off, and he has no keli to take off the truma, but he wants to make kiddush on Shabbos, so he can before Shabbos say that the two lugin, which I'll use later on Shabbos, they are truma now. And this works because of brera, because huvra davar l'mafreh, that what I'll do later clarifies what it was that should be happening now. Later, it will become clear which two lugin l'mafreh were truma. Rameir holds yesh brera, therefore you could do this. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yaisir, Rabbi Shimon hold ein brera. So here by shchita b'yantav, do we say Rabbi Yehuda holds yesh brera? More answers, it could be he holds yesh brera, but by halakeach yayin mibein hakusim, he's machmer, because we're afraid the barrel will break, shema yibaka hanoid, and he'll never have a chance to take off truma, and he would have eaten tevel. I think Gemara says, but we really know that Rabbi Yehuda does hold ein brera, and we know this by the case of Erev Trumin. We know that a person has 2,000 amas from his makam shvisa at Bein HaShmashas. When Shabbos arrives at Bein HaShmashas, a person now has 2,000 amas. If he's not in a city, he has 2,000 amas that he can walk. By making an Erev Trumin through food, by putting food down on a certain spot, he can move his makam shvisa in one direction. But then he loses the other direction. For example, if he's standing in a spot, he can put an Erev Trumin 2,000 amas to the east. And then he would be allowed to walk 2,000 amas from that point, but he wouldn't be able to walk back the 2,000 amas west. What if he wants to put two of them there? He wants to put two Erev Trumin, one on one side and one on the other, one to the east and one to the west. Do we say that he can decide on Shabbos which one he wants via Yesh Brera? The Tanakh Kama says Yesh Brera. Rabbi Yehuda is Machmer and says Ein Brera. So he would not be able to do that. He has to decide at Bein HaShmashas which he wants. Does he want to be able to go east or does he want to be able to go west? Any keli which can be moved on Shabbos, which includes most kelim, if they break, the broken pieces can also be moved and are not muktzah, but only if the broken piece can be used for some kind of a purpose. If it can't be used for anything, then it's muktzah. For example, if glass breaks, it can be used to cover a barrel. Therefore, since it can be used for some kind of a purpose, like covering a barrel, it's not considered muksa. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, they're only mutter if the broken pieces can still be used in a way similar to how it was used before, me'ein melachton. If they're not similar, if they can't be used to something similar to how they were used before, they're considered muksa because of neilad. One is not allowed to squeeze out juice from a fruit on Shabbos, but if it comes out by itself, it's only usur midrabanan, a gzera that someone will squeeze it by himself. Rabbi Yehuda says, if the fruits were being kept for eating, then if the juice comes out by themselves, the juice is mutter. And this juice isn't considered neilan, since it was muchan as part of the fruit before Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda would be maida to the chachamim by zesim and anavim, that we must be machmir, gzera shema yisrait, since most people use zeisim v'anavim for the purpose of juice, not for the purpose of the whole fruit. The Gemara says a ner of kli cheres can be moved on Shabbos if it is new, but not if it is already used, since ner kli cheres is mius, it's repulsive. So it is muktza due to the klal of muktza machmas mius. But a ner made out of metal, even if it was used, it can be used on Shabbos, since it never becomes mius. But if it was used on that Shabbos, it can't be touched, since it becomes muktza, als muktza machmas iser. Daf Tazvav. If someone cooks on Shabbos, can one benefit from the cooking? Rameir says, if it was done b'shaygig, everyone can eat it. If it was done b'mezid, no one can eat it, and it's aser b'hana until after Shabbos. And in fact, Rashi adds, he can't even eat it mamish right after Shabbos, but he has to wait a shirav b'chadei sheyasa. He has to wait a shirav enough time so this food can be fully cooked after Shabbos. So if it takes 20 minutes to cook it, he can't eat it until 20 minutes after Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says, b'shaygig, he can't eat it on Shabbos, but he can only eat it b'motzai Shabbos. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda, b'shaygig is equal to Rameir b'mezid. But if it was done b'mezid, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he can't eat it forever. This is a knas. But others can eat from it on motzai Shabbos. Rabbi Yechanan Sandler, who is the most machmer, says b'shaygig, others can eat it motzai Shabbos, but he can never eat it. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda, b'mezid is equal to Rabbi Yechanan Sandler b'shaygig. And the reason we say that he can never eat it is kansinan shaygig otu mezid. We give him a knas otu mezid. But if it was b'mezid, no one can ever eat it. This he learns from the pasuk of ushmartem es haShabbos ki kodesh, ma kodesh osur ba'achila. Ma kodesh, referring to, just like hektish is osur ba'achila, so too, what is produced on Shabbos, on the kodesh of Shabbos, is also osur. We should point out regarding the machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Meir cooking on Shabbos, many Rishonim and the Mechaber and Simon Shinyad Ches paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that even b'shaygig it's aser. But the Mishnah Brura brings from the Gra, he brings paiskim to the effect of Rameir, so that be'es hatzairach, if it's cooked b'shaygig, it can be eaten on Shabbos. Also, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that on Motzai Shabbos were not machmer with the shear of b'chtei sheyasa, and it can be eaten immediately after Shabbos is over. The Gemara says when Rav would paskin in private with his Talmidim, he would always go like Rameir. But when he would say a shir berabim, he would paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, usually which was more mekel. If someone is deathly ill, we are allowed to shecht an animal for him to eat because pikuach nefesh is deicha Shabbos. And in fact, a healthy person can eat from it. But if one cooks for a chayla on Shabbos, only the chayla can eat from it, not a healthy person. Because we're afraid of marbe bishvilai. He might come to add a little extra to cook, so he can eat some of it as well. In other words, if the sick person is supposed to eat 5 teaspoons full of this thing, which is being cooked, he might add a 6th teaspoon so he can eat from it. By shchita, there's no gzera of this, because the same shchita of one animal is the same no matter how many people eat from it. If a chayla has to eat 5 teaspoons of meat, well, if a person shechts an animal and there's 100 teaspoons, he would have to shecht the same animal, whether it was just the 5 teaspoons for the chayla, or other people as well. So therefore there was no gzera on that, and by shchita there is no gzera, therefore anyone can eat from it. The Ran in Be'ah, Daf Yud Zayin Amar Aleph, says that the iser of marbe b'shvilei, marbe b'shiurim, that we mentioned before, is min haTorah. According to the Ran, if one cuts a branch with 3 grapes, when 2 is sufficient for the sick person, or if one places a pot on the fire to cook with more meat than the patient needs, he's violated an iser min haTorah, and he's liable to bring a chatas. The Rashba disagrees and says that the Isser of Marba Bishiurim is only Osir Midrabanan. The Mishnah. If someone shechs with a rack or a reed, the Shechita is kosher. Anyone can do Shechita at any time, day or night, and with all kinds of knives, except if the knife has pegimus, for example, teeth, nails, or saw, and it's not smooth, so they won't shech the animal but will rip the simanim. Those are Osir to use for Shechita. The Gemara. If someone shechs with something that is mechuber lekarka, it's still attached to the ground, Rebbe says pasul. We paskin like Rebbe, but Rebbe says kosher. Rebbe says pasul because we're afraid of drasa. He'll chop the simanim instead of cutting motion, which is needed for shechita. If someone shechts by moving a wheel with a knife attached to it, the shechita is good. If someone put a knife in the wall and moved the animal back and forth, it's also kosher, but kosher b'diavad. Daf Tazayin. If a person turns a wheel, which is kayach adam, and the knife is attached, the shechita is kosher. But if the wheel is pushed by water, it's pasul since it's not kayach adam. Rebbe holds that shechita memechuber is no good, since he learns this from the pasuk of Avraham Avinu by Akedas Yitzchak. It says vayikach es hamacheles lishchait. Vayikach is he took it. So if he took it, it obviously cannot be attached to the ground. For peiros to be mukshel lekabel tuma, they must be touched by liquid. And it must be liquid that a person wanted on the peiros, even if it's indirect. For example, he put out something to catch rain. He wanted the rain. Maybe he didn't want it to be mukshel lekabel tuma, but since he put it out to catch rain, and this is indirect, it still becomes roi to be mekabel tuma. There are five halachas which were said regarding if you want to use a kana, a hard reed, for shechita. Number one, you can't use the branch of a reed, since a thorn may break off and rip the simanim. Number two, you can't use it for mila, since we're afraid of sakana. Number three, you can't cut meat, clean one's teeth, or clean one's body, since we're afraid of sakana. The person can get pricked by one of the hard pieces of the reed. However, a soft reed from a swamp may be mutter. Rava said if something was tolish ula besayf chibure, it's unclear from the Gemara if the shechita is kosher or pasul. Most Rishonim say lechatchila it's aser, but b'di'eved it may be kosher. Finally, Rabbi Yishmael said, in the Midbar, Klal Yisrael could not eat meat as chulin, but had to shecht it as a carbon. They couldn't stop eating meat. It had to either be brought as a carbon, then they could eat meat. If it wasn't brought as a carbon, they weren't allowed to eat meat at all. Once they went to Eretz Yisrael, meat could be eaten even as chulin. Rabbi Akiva says, even in the Midbar, basar was mutter even as chulin. Daf Yud Zayin. If someone shechts an animal improperly, the animal becomes an avela. Or if someone does nechira, cutting lengthwise versus horizontal, or if someone is ma'akir, he rips, he is pater from the mitzvah of kisei hadam, because really the animal is not shechted properly. The Gemara says any knife is kosher for shechita except a knife with a pegima, with a ragged edge, but if the dent has been smoothed out, then it's kosher for shechita. This is referred to as misuch seches. There is a machlekes about misuch seches brought in Yerodea Simen Yudches. The Mechaber Paskins, like the Rajba, the Rambam, and the Rif, the misuch seches is only mutter if the indentation had only one sharp edge, and it's pointing in the direction of the end of the knife. So when it cuts, it glosses the neck of the animal instead of ripping the neck of the animal. But the Ramah holds like Rashi, who says misuch seches is mutter only if it's at the end of the knife. But since we're not bekiyim what the end of the knife means, we're always machmer by misuch seches. Rava said there are special halachas regarding a knife for shechita. Number one, if it has an oigeres, a two-sided indentation, it can't be used. Number two, misuch seches is osur lechatchila, but mutter b'di'eved, if he only went one way with it, he only went hoylacha, he didn't go coming back, he only went with a motion going one way. Number three, if the knife is curved, it may also be kosher. The inyan of bedikas sakin, of checking the sakin, is min atayra. As we see from Shmuel Aleph, Perik Yud Dalad, you should shecht with this, and then you can eat it. The pasuk says, u'shchatetem b'zeh v'yachaltem. In Eretz Yisrael, they used to check the knife in the sun so they could clearly see any indentation. And in Hardah, they would check it in water. These were ways of seeing if a little bit would bubble over the knife. They knew there was an indentation. Rav Sheshes used to run it over the tip of his tongue. Others checked it on the flesh of a person's finger. Rav Papa said, the bedika is required on flesh and on the nail and on all three sides of the knife. The veshet is soft, so therefore flesh, which is what the veshet really is a good way of checking the knife. The kana is a hard cartilage, so therefore the nail is a good place to check against something hard. The bisra and the tifra. Bisra is flesh, tifra is the nail. We pass in like Rav Papa and Yerodea Simen Yud Ches that we check the knife on 12 sides. The flesh on all three sides back and forth, that's 6. And the nail on all three sides back and forth, that's another 6, which is equal to 12. Daf Yud Ches. In order to show kavod to the chacham of a city, a sheikhet is supposed to show him his knife before doing shechita. The Mishnah. If someone used a harvest sickle, Beis Hillel is machshir if one only does haylacha, going one way, since it won't tear. But Beis Shammai says, pasul. The Gemara. Rav Chiya says, even according to Beis Hillel, it's still usher to eat, but it only doesn't have the din of a nevela. The next Mishnah. If someone cuts the tabas gedayla, the large cartilage at the top of the kana, it's kosher. But if he leaves any of it, it's no good. According to Rabbi Yossi, as long as he cuts raiv, it's kosher, since we say rubai kekule. Raiv is considered like the whole thing. Gemara says we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, but only regarding the tabas gedayla, since it surrounds the kana completely. Tafyotes. If parts of the shechita are cut in the wrong place, the shechita is pasul. If the shechita was done in a zigzag motion, one third out of the makam shechita, one third in, and one third out, Rapuna says kosher, Rabbi Yehuda Amarav says trefa. Vice versa, however, one third in, one third out, and one third in, Rabbi Yehuda Amarav says kosher, since raiv is considered kosher, but Rapuna would say trefa. The next Mishnah. Shechita is done with a knife, and by a bird, we also, a bird which is a carbon bird, we also do malika via the kain pushing his thumbnail down the neck of the bird. If a sheichet cuts through the shedra, the spine, it's kosher. If the sheichet cuts through the side of the neck, the shechita is also kosher. But malika on the side, pasels. If shechita is done at the back, it's not kosher. Gemara. The mitzvah of malika is to push the simanim to the back of the neck, so when the kain pushes them with his thumbnail, he will cut the simanim first. Tafchaf. Any place of the neck which is kosher l'shechita, opposite in the back, is kosher for malika by a bird carbon. It's a machlokes of shechita by eifus, by birds, is min ha-tayra or not. If it's midrabanan, then the iser to eat eifus without shechita is only midrabanan. The Gemara says by a bird carbon, if a kayan didn't do malika with his finger, but did shechita with a knife instead, it has a din of nevela and it can be mitama. If there is chaloda, this is when the knife is hidden, is one of the five psulim, the shechita is pasul. Chaloda comes from the word chulda, weasel, who lives hidden inside the walls of houses. Finally, Ziri said that if an animal's neck is broken, together with most of its surrounding skin, it's considered to be a nevela and can be metama even if it continues to shake or move. Tafchafalaf. If a man's neck bone breaks with roiv basar, even if he is still alive and moving, he is metama ba'il, as if he is dead. Aye, and what about the maisa of Eli who fell and broke his bone? He was called a backbone. He was called a mace who can be metama even without roiv basar. Since he was also a zaken, his old age contributed to the shame mace, along with the broken neck bone. The Gemara says, if a man was cut down by his length into two parts, even if he is still moving, he is considered to be a mace. By the eight shrutzim, who are metama if they're dead, they're called dead if their head was cut off, even if they continue to move around. Just like the tail of a lizard, that even if it's cut off, it continues making jerking motions. Finally, just like chatas behema must be paid out, must be paid for with chulin money, the avoidus must be done by day, and they must be done with the right hand, so too these halachas apply as well to oilas ha'if. Tafchav beis. We learn that chatas behema must come from chulin. We learn this from the pasuk of the par kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, which is brought on Vayikra Tezayin. The hikri of Aaron is parachatas, asher loy. It must come from his own money, not from the tzibor's money or from Eiser Sheni. Anytime the Torah uses a lashon of etzba or kahuna, it means one must use his right hand, not his left hand. The Mishnah. When we bring a bird for a carbon, for example, a yaledes, a mitzaira, carbon oliviyared, it's either a dove, a tirim, or a pigeon, or a benayayna. But doves must be adults, and pigeons must be young. Middle age, however, is pasul for both tirim and benayayna. Gemara. When are doves considered to be adults? Our answer is when their wings are large and take on a reddish color. Tafchav Gimel. If a bird was nirva to someone, then it's pasul for a carbon. Anytime the Torah used a lashon of hashchasa, it's referring to erva and avodah zarah. If a person brings a palgus as a carbon, this is an intermediate animal which is between a keves and an ayil, he isn't yaitza, since it's really neither a keves or an ayil. The next Mishnah. That which is kosher by the para aduma is pasul by the egla arufa. Egla arufa is the case where a dead body is found somewhere out in the wilderness. The city closest to the dead body must take a calf and give a chop to the back of the head. Gemara. By para aduma, the animal must be killed via shechita, but by egla arufa, it must be killed via arefa, a chop to the back of the head. Taf Chav Dalet, the Mishnah. That which is kosher by kohanim is pasul by levim. And that which is kosher by levim is pasul by kohanim. The Gemara. By kohanim, if they had a mum, they're pasul for the avoda. But there is no age limit by kohanim. By levim, a mum does not pasul, but their age is limited. They must be at least 30 years old, but not over 50. But the levim started learning their avoda from the age of 25, since the halachas and the complexities of what they were learning were very complex. Regarding the age 50 limit, this was only in the Zman of the Beis HaMikdash, where the primary Avodah was carrying the Mishkan, dismantling it, and reconstructing it wherever they traveled. Later on, however, in the Beis HaMikdash, where the primary duties of the Levim were singing, playing musical instruments, guarding the Beis HaMikdash, and so on, for that there was no upper age limit, and even someone over 50 could do the Avodah of the Levim. A person is considered to still be young if he can stand. He's still young, or is not considered to having gotten to an old age, if he can stand on one foot and still take off his shoe of the other off the other foot. Finally, when a person's beard fills out, he's roy to be shliach tzibur. Rashi says this, for example, includes to blow shofar and to be a chazan, a shliach tzibur. This daf, by the way, interestingly enough, was the daf we learned on Rosh Hashanah. So it's kind of interesting that the discussion here about blowing shofar and being a chazan for Yom Nirayim was learned on Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah. What is tahar by a kli cheres is tame by all other kelim, and vice versa. Gemara. If a sheretz enters the airspace of a kli cheres, it becomes tame. But if it touches the surface of the kli cheres, then it remains tahar. By all other kelim, just the opposite is true. If it touches the surface, it becomes tame. If it touches the inside, the avir, the airspace, it does not become tame. Daf chafei. If a mace, a dead body, is in a room, any keli which is open and uncovered becomes tame. But if a kli cheres covers up some food, the kli cheres acts as a barrier to the tumah. The Mishnah. That which isn't makabel tumah by a kli etz is makabel tumah by a kli matches, by a metal keli, and vice versa. The Gemara. An unfinished wooden keli is makabel tumah, but if it's flat, it's not. But by a metal keli, if it's unfinished, it isn't makabel tumah, but if it's flat, it is. Here is a list of unfinished wooden kelim, which can be mekabel tumah. Number one, if it hasn't been polished. Number two, if it still doesn't have ornaments. And number three, if it's missing a base. Finally, a bone keli is considered to be similar to a metal keli, so if it's unfinished, it won't be mekabel tumah. The next Mishnah. Normally, the chi of maaser is only for mature peres which are edible. The stage where bitter almonds have a chi of maaser don't have a chi of if they're sweet, and vice versa. Gemara. Bitter almonds only have a chi of maaser when they're small, since they're still edible. Later on, they can't be eaten because they're too bitter. Sweet almonds only have a chi of when they're large, since only then are they edible. When they're small, they're not edible. The Mishnah. A mixture of water and grape seeds, which is referred to as tamed, before it fermented, it's like water, so you can't use kesef maaser sheni to buy it. And it passels a mikveh if it's included in three lugin of mayim sheuvin, which can passel 40 saw. But after it became fermented, it's considered like wine, so kesef maaser sheni can be used, and it won't passel a mikveh. Only mayim can passel a sheuvim, not wine. The Mishnah also says that if brothers divided Yerusha, and then they became shutfin, they're putter from maaser sheni. Daf chavav. If three lugin of sheuvim water were missing a small amount, and a little wine fell into it, and then it fell into a mikveh, if it looks like wine, it doesn't passel a mikveh, because wine can't passel a mikveh through sheuvim, only water can. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says the key is what it looks like. If it looks like water, then it can passel. If it looks like wine, it can't. The Mishnah. Whenever a father is allowed to sell his daughter as a katana to be a shivcha, there is no din of knas if a man has relations via einis, force, or mafata, convincing her, since this knas is only if she's a nara, not if she's a katana. But if she's a nara, a father has no right to sell her at all. Gemara. This is like Rameir, but the Chachamim say, even by a katana, there is a din of knas. The next Mishnah. Anytime there is mian is if a katana, which is married off, who is married off by her mother or brother, so the kedushin is only mitar rabbanim. So if she declares mian, she says she doesn't want to be married to this person, she doesn't need a get, and chalitza will not help. But once she's a gedela, there's no din of mian at all. The Gemara. The Chachamim say there can be mian even by a gedela. The next Mishnah. Anytime they did tkiya was the shofar that they blew before Shabbos to tell people that they cannot do malacha anymore. They didn't do Havdalah. Anytime they did Havdalah, they didn't do Shofar. They didn't do Tekiah. If Yantav ends up being on Erev Shabbos, even though really why should you blow Shofar to tell people not to do Malacha, we still blow the Shofar anyway, so people would be able to find out that they can't cook or carry anymore. Because on Yantav they were able to cook and carry, on Shabbos, going into Shabbos, they're not allowed to cook and carry, so the purpose of the Shofar was to remind people they can't cook or carry. But we don't make Havdalah between Yantav and Shabbos, since a more Chomer Kedusha is coming. Because you have Yontav and then you have Shabbos, so we don't make Havdalah because now the Kedusha of Shabbos is higher than the Kedusha of Yontav. But if Yontav comes on Motzai Shabbos, then we do make Havdalah. But we don't do the Tekiyas, since you can now do more Malachas. Now from Shabbos you couldn't do any Malachas. Going into Yontif, you can still cook and you can carry. Or you can now start to cook and you can now start to carry. How is Havdalah done between Shabbos and Yontif? Mishnah says, we say Hamavdil ben Kaidish le Kaidish. Rav Daisa says we say ben Kaidish Chomor le Kaidish Hakal. The Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Simen Reish Nunvav says, although that back then they had the minig to blow shofar on Erev Shabbos, to do bistkias, this custom was discontinued after Klal Yisrael were exiled and were forced to live amongst the Goyim. The Rama writes, however, that in the place of the horn blast, many communities appoint someone to publicly announce that it is time to prepare for Shabbos. The Gemara, if Friday is a regular day of Chol, they blew Tkiah, Trua, Tkiah. But if Friday is Yontiv, they varied slightly so people wouldn't get mixed up. The Gemara says, we don't paskin like Reb Daisa, since we would be degrading the Kedusha of Yontiv by saying, Ben Kedusha Chomor, Le Kedusha Kal. Finally, Reb Zera said that if Yontif falls out in the middle of the week, we still say Hamavdil ben Kaidish Lechol, ben Er Lechayshech ben Yisrael Amin, ben Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheishish Yemei Amasa. Really, Yom HaShvi'i is Shabbos, so how can we say that in the middle of the week? We still say Yom HaShvi'i, since the Nusach isn't about tonight, but about the fact that the Torah tells us about the Havdalah that took place, ben Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheishish Yemei Amasa. This marks the end of this parak. Mirtz Hashem, the next day we'll begin the second parak, HaShechet, but at this point we will conclude our share.